They're coming to get you, Barbara.
It's on, it's on. There's no sound. Play with the rabbit ears.
His reports, incredible as they seem, are not the results of mass hysteria. First eyewitness accounts of this grisly development came from people who were understandably frightened and almost incoherent. Officials and newsmen at first discounted those eyewitness descriptions as being beyond belief. However, the reports persisted. Medical examinations of some of the victims bore out the fact that they had been partially devoured.
It's rich, it's alive, it's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame, fortune, platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Hello, Barbara. And howdy, hi, and welcome out there in Cut by Cut land. This is Eric and the co-host with an insatiable, unquenchable taste for brains and guts and the vitriol shoved inside human beings, one Chris Buck. Shoot him in the head, Saint Silver. How the hell are you?
I'm doing great.
I'm really glad you jumped in there I was like running out of things to say.
I was trying to do a little live Instagram thing. I've never done it before.
How'd that work out for you?
I wasn't holding the button. I just pushed it once, so it wasn't.
Is it still running?
No.
Is this going to be the kind of thing like you go to the bathroom later and you're still alive Instagramming?
Let's just put it this way. I'm not going to try to keep doing it because this has taken us like 18 times to try to get this episode going.
I don't want to bore the folks at home with how many times we've tried to redo this episode different circumstances.
The record button has been pressed. Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm watching the numbers now.
And
if either of us were either alcoholics or drug addicts, this would make sense. Like, it's the only rational explanation is either that I'm stroking out every single time I do this episode or I've picked up a drug habit in my sleep like Tyler Durden.
Well, lack of sleep can be like a drug habit.
That is very true, although I did get a lot of sleep last night. So I don't have anything whimsical to say about that.
Well, it's Night of the Living Dead night.
Whoa. Day. Yeah.
Again?
That's right.
So is it Return of the Living
Dead? It's Return of the Night of the Living Dead Day. Yeah, totally. Yeah. The George Romero classic, who unfortunately just passed away recently, right? Is that?
I don't know. You're right. It was recent. It was relatively recent.
Yeah, relatively recently.
No.
I have my finger on the pulse of pop culture. I know what the hell's going on. So, yeah.
I will look it up and I will tell you.
When. Well, we are recording this basically really close to October 8th. Hey, Chris.
Which everyone knows is...
Yeah, go for it. It's all yours. National Zombie Day.
Oh, no kidding.
I guess it's a day you prepare for the apocalypse. You make sure that your go bags are prepared.
I don't really feel like it's a day that you prepare for the apocalypse. I think it's like you
Night either, of the Living.
You're either ready for the apocalypse or you're like the rest of the world and you're not.
Right. I hear that. And I raise you. I have a go bag in the cellar specifically with hammers.
For reals?
Yeah, I have a duffel bag in the basement with hammers in it. It's not really a zombie go bag.
It's your tool bag.
Yeah, it's just a tool bag.
You had me going there for a second.
But that will be worth a lot of money once the zombie apocalypse kicks in full swing.
But when the zombie apocalypse...
Have you played this game before where you're like, okay, what would your weapon of choice be?
I probably think I have. Everyone has, right? Haven't you?
I don't know. You need to...
Yes.
You need to give me more than just a head shake. What would you... Okay, so now we're playing the game, damn it. What would your weapon of choice be in a zombie apocalypse?
Well, do I have to be proficient in the weapon right...
No, you could start training tomorrow.
I Michonne Samurai Sword, like, all the way.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a nice, folded...
metal. You only know that from Highlander. Don't even front like you have an idea of samurai swords.
Who's the guy in the Hanzo whatever?
Hattori Hanzo. Yeah. Everything you know about samurai swords comes from two movies. Yes, neither of them samurai movies.
Or the Lone Wolf and Cub books.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense too. Yeah, totally.
Assuming, a nice clean, whoosh,
yep,
slicing action.
But that's a hard weapon because the samurai sword isn't like a slicing weapon that goes through. It's actually like a slice and a pullback real quick because it hits the bone.
I used to be,
and it'll get stuck in the neck.
I used to be a baseball player. I feel like I could handle it.
Yeah, I feel more like a bludgeoning weapon would be. I would be more suited for some kind of bludgeoning weapon.
Okay.
Did you ever read Max Brooks's World War Z?
World War Z, I made it about halfway through. Quite frankly, I found it dry.
Oh my God. I love it. I hit
a point where I stopped caring.
I recommend going back and doing it, but doing it on our official non-sponsor, audible.com. It's read by various celebrities. So the Chinese guy, because the story takes place, starts in China. That's where Ground Zero is. They have an actor or a reader who's Chinese. The Japanese character is read by a Japanese gentleman. Henry Rollins reads he reads as the as like the hired muscle at a celebrity. A bunch of celebrities have quarantined their own house, and he's the mercenary bodyguard who's just like, I should shoot all these people and run.
Right.
And he's thinking about cutting out.
I don't think I got to that one. But
the voice work in it is amazing.
That sounds like it would make it interesting. I'm not a big nonfiction like reader. I take it in bits. So to sit down and read that, that's
rare. I like that you called World War Z nonfiction.
No, the style of it.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I'm not confusing World War Z with having actually happened. What I meant is...
You didn't sleep through it, Chris.
I don't do well through historical kind of nonfiction like writing, so it just gets dry to me and it's not exciting.
I just can't...
I like pulp, you know?
Yeah.
Keep me entertained, damn it.
I found it totally entertaining. I didn't find any part of it that was boring or nonsensical. But anyway, regardless, we're going to move on from that.
Okay.
And
Before we move on, I do have the zombie survival guide, though, which was the precursor to the...
Right. And that's all you really need.
Yes.
Bicycle over car.
Yep.
Horse over bicycle.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a whole new Rochambeau, like horse, bike, car.
Right.
Right. Like car beats bike. Bike beats horse. Horse beats car.
Yeah. Okay.
So
I'd play that.
Yeah, all right. So horse, car, bike. That's our new thing now. Yeah. We'll have to come up with some cool hand gestures.
I got one for you.
That's just a bird without wings.
You're number one, baby.
All right. So first off, it's real important to know that Night of the Living Dead, the movie, which we started our episode with clips of, is not technically a zombie movie. They're technically ghouls because they rise from the dead to then feast on human skin and human flesh and whatnot. And that the whole concept of brains is also not technically a zombie thing, but much more of a ghoul thing. So, you know, This Is a Ghoul's Night Out is technically more of a song fitting Night of the Living Dead than...
What's the source of... Who has the... Where is this defined?
I believe it's the incredibly well-researched Wikipedia. I heard it on, I'm not sure where I've heard it, but I know that ghoul lore is, zombies are traditionally voodoo.
Right.
And that they are people who have been...
But they were people.
Made into mindless machines.
See, I always thought a ghoul was like a... summoned
they have
like
to crawl out of the earth,
black magic thing,
yeah, and that's pretty much what spawns them, right? They crawl out of the earth and then start feasting on human flesh. Zombies are like Haitian, they're made, you know, you give them the poison, they become prisoners. Okay. A true zombie, at least according to the voodoo hoodoo kind of black magic stuff, is the person is still alive, they're trapped in their own body and treated as puppets.
So then do ghouls transmit their... A traditional zombie wouldn't have... I don't even know the word traditional.
I don't think that the transmission of the stuff comes into effect until movies, until cinema.
Okay, so cinema did this.
Right.
So we're talking before cinema, before Night of the Living Dead, and its kind of lore
right.
became what it is before that.
Yes, okay. Exactly. You need to... yeah, so there's this whole concept of like the zombie is actually a man-made construct, but it's a human being who's been stripped of all of their free will.
Okay.
And now they are on the attack. Right. And in fact, one of the earliest mentions, this goes back to my Danzig is
literary
genius. It goes back to the concept that, so in the Epic of Gilgamesh, there is a goddess who threatens to bring the dead back to feast upon the living. But they're never referred to as zombies or anything along those lines. But that's really our first creature returns from the dead to destroy and devour.
Okay.
So that's what I've got for that. Now I've got a whole bunch of nitpicky stuff about the lyrics. So before I jump into that, what would you, do you want to say anything?
I think it's safe to assume the inspiration for the song was the film.
I think it's Epic of Gilgamesh, but yeah, sure. If you want to, if you want to go with the easy out of it's probably the film of the same name. Yeah. The eponymous name. Yep.
Well, I just had some facts about the movie.
All right. Hit me with your best shot.
Do you know what the original concept of the Night of the Living Dead script was originally intended to be?
I certainly do. You ready for this?
Yes.
A bawdy sequel to Creature from the Black Lagoon, where he and a couple of his other lagoon friends come into town for a party weekend in search of women, because Lagoon needs women. Right?
Okay.
There's a bikini contest going on.
How deep are you going to go with this?
How long are you going to let me go with this?
The original idea was for an alien comedy.
Okay, so I figured alien at first.
Yeah.
But what was... Do you have the plot?
He originally thought about making a horror comedy
okay.
about hot-rodding alien teens who end up at Earth, on Earth. At Earth, on Earth, on Earth. And they meet up with some human
hot-rod teenagers.
And comic hilarity, campy horror ensues.
Yeah, I'm going to be completely honest. I would buy that. I would watch that.
I'm kind of disappointed it never got made.
I kind of feel like I would most certainly buy that comic book, and since it's not out, would make that comic book.
I was trying to figure out if it has been made since then, but...
I feel like somebody has to have played with that idea, like Eric Powell from The Goon. I mean, talk about a great use of zombies. Did you read The Goon? The Goon.
I know you were into it.
I never dipped
my toe into it. I never made it into that.
The premise of The Goon is basically he's this old mob hitman who's kind of taken on to be the protector of the town.
Okay.
And the town is taken over by slack jaws, which is what they call zombies.
Oh.
And there is one good zombie who sits at the bar and wears a bowler hat and is really just generally a nice guy. I feel like he's also like he sings songs or something like that, but he kind of speaks the voice of reason. And there's a voodoo priest who keeps making zombies to come after and try to kill the goon.
Oh, okay. So, but they're voodoo zombies.
Yeah, and it's the art style is tremendous. It's got this very little Abner. I'm trying to think of like the cartoon characters with sort of the big plate eyes.
Yeah,
like early 1930s, 1920s cartoons.
Yep,
and it's all gorgeously painted. You know, the goon he's a heartless machine, right? And we ends up finding out that he's been. It's all from love. He's heartless because he's had his heart broken.
Oh, okay.
But his buddy Frankie is kind of like this smooth-talking wife beater, wearing baggy pants.
I was like that's kind of dark.
Gangsta, like, yeah, man. Then we're gonna go do this. See?
Oh, like those two animated,
like the dog and the yeah, exactly. And he's kind of
always.
What
are we gonna do today, George? What are we gonna do today?
Winding the goon up, and the goon. You know, he's punched orphans. He's kicked old ladies. Like
he's done whatever.
He's just a miserable human being.
In the name of gooning.
Exactly. So that's probably one of my favorite zombie stories.
Huh. It didn't. I guess everything I had ever seen about the Goon or talked to you about never had anything to do with zombies before. I never even knew that was an angle in the story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much in the early episodes right out the gate. Huh. And then Powell gets a little off the path, and the stories become very... He's clearly working through... I don't know. I don't know anything about the guy's life, but he's clearly working through like a divorce or a heartbreak because they all become really, really emo goth, like deep dives into forlorn love and so forth. But fantastic story. And I just want to recommend it. If you want something that has zombies, but isn't zombie based, like Walking Dead, which I'm just completely and totally been done with that since the TV show first came out.
Yeah. I even punted it at some point after you, but...
Yeah, you stuck around for a little bit longer.
Stuck around for a while. I stuck around until I saw what the full first issue collections were getting on eBay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then you dumped them all, right?
I think I made, like...
You had the first, like, 100 issues, right, didn't you?
I had over the first 100. I think I was missing two, and they just... I either never picked them up, or...
And you sold them as a lot, right?
Or they're in my other comic boxes somewhere. Yeah, I sold them as a lot, missing sans two issues somewhere towards 100, so they weren't like core issues. And
yeah,
I made a good amount of money on it.
Nice. Nice. Well, we're about halfway through the episode. We should probably talk about the song. Do you have anything else you want to say?
What song is that?
I believe it's called Night of the Living Dead, although I'm not quite sure.
I thought it was a Shredded Wheat commercial.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about that in a second. Yeah. So, song starts out with this great line, stumble in somnambulance. All right? And do you know what a somnambulant is?
I do. It means basically means sleepwalking.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, 12 woes in. or there's 12 woes total in this song. This is a particularly great song for Halloween anyway, because not only is the 8th World Zombie Day, which wasn't a thing when Glenn wrote this, but it was the 4th single that they ever released. Do you know what spooky October day they released it? Boogity.
No, the 8th?
Yes.
Really?
No, October 31st, 1979. So right near the end of 70s, the song was released. But a somnambulant, yeah, it's a sleepwalker, right?
So they released it in 79 as their 4th single.
Yep.
And then you didn't see the song again until... Oh, I'm sorry. This was the first album to get actually...
Yeah, it was the first album recorded, third released.
I lose track really.
So complicated. But so I did a little bit of Googling, and all I could find... I did a little bit of Googling.
I bet you did.
And then I looked up the lyrics. Isabel Campbell is, I guess, a singer-songwriter. Okay. I don't know. It's the only other song that has somnambulance in the lyrics. So there's only two songs in all of recorded history with somnambulance. Up until just recently, it was the only one. Going back to my theory that Glenn Danzig is a literary genius, because stumble in somnambulance so pre-dawn corpses come to life, that is a mouthful.
Yeah, I mean, he clearly went to the thesaurus for this, but I think it's...
Oh, I don't think so, man. I think he knew.
I'm impressed for... You think it was part of his vocabulary?
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're like, Glenn, you have a sleepless night? He's like, I feel like a somnambulant. And people are like, what, Glenn? He's like, read a book.
Read a book.
Welcome to my book collection. Why don't you read one?
These are my books.
These are my books. This is my book collection.
Yeah, the word, I know exactly where I came across this word. There's a band called There Were Wires, and one of their, that's kind of like noise experiment, like noise rock. And their album was called Somnambulance or Somnambulism or something like that. One of their albums.
But they didn't use it in any of the lyrics.
There's not many lyrics
in
the songs.
Yeah, that's right. Cowards. Cowards. Yeah. Not even Eminem with his mom's spaghetti, getting ready lyric would ever even try to front with somnambulance.
No, I'm going to give cred where cred is due.
Yeah, totally.
He put this in a song. And it fits. Like the cadence is right.
And it's the sleepwalk, right? The sleepwalk of the living dead.
Oh. Yeah.
So when I was a kid, I don't know why, but I never read Misfits lyrics. For some reason, I always just sort of listened to them and was like, oh, okay, this is, I guess, what he's saying. And I don't remember, maybe the cassettes that I had didn't come with lyric sheets, or I just ignored them, or...
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe I was ignorant. But when he gets to the line, only ones, lonely ones, ripped up like shredded wheat.
Mm, yeah.
I always thought there's no way in hell I am hearing this line right.
You thought
there is no possible way that he is mentioning Nabisco shredded wheats or whomever makes the goddamn product.
It's Nabisco.
Right. Nabisco shredded wheats. There's no way, because now also not only is he not talking about, not only is he mixing metaphors. When you think shredded wheats, you think the mummy. So this is a song technically about ghouls.
Well, it depends on, so they have the mini wheats.
He doesn't say dressed up like mini, ripped up
and
like
mini. And I'm not with the frosted ones. I don't know when those came out, but I'm not, we all know Glenn Danzig did not have frosted mini wheats.
No, God, no.
Here's the deal. Like, shredded wheat just come in like a brick, I think.
Right, yeah. So you ripped them up.
So you kind of, you crumble it into the bowl, right?
Yeah. The whole concept that these zombies are, you know, same consistency of shredded wheat is way more mummy than it is zombie. Zombies have always been like kind of like rotted flesh. Not, I think when I think of shredded wheat, I think of like really dry and crisp skin.
Yeah.
You know, the bandages like the frosted side of the shredded wheat. Okay. And this is always, it's always, but this doesn't, I'm looking
never
at your face.
It never
you have
me.
No problem with the, how bad this
I guess,
is.
I guess, I mean, I do think it's a little bit of a stretch. I never really put much thought into it. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But to me, the visual.
Well, what did you do? Play sports?
Like the visual.
What did you do? Talk to girls? Come on, Chris. This is some serious stuff here.
The previous, not the latter.
Yeah.
But the ripped up like shredded wheat doesn't bother me. I'm just imagining someone's innards.
Oh, so you think that people are ripped up like shredded wheat?
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess that makes much more sense. Which,
I'm not. I've never been a shredded wheat fan.
Yeah, I've never been a picnic fan. That's why we get along so well.
My mom used to bring home frosted shredded. We had the frosted kind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I actually was. I only liked them. I'd have to eat them a very certain way. I had to put the frosted side down on my tongue and then chew it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because if you put it frosted side up, you don't get all the flavor.
You were a complicated child. I'm just flat out
that's
saying.
How picky I was about there, because it's not. It's like eating.
No, that's unhealthy.
It's like eating cardboard.
Yeah, no. Well, I actually don't mind them. There's frosted. Oh, there's like a generic kind that they sell in the health food stores.
But they're frosted.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
yeah.
not just eating the brick of shredded
no, God,
wheat
no.
and milk.
I'm not a monster. I'm not unholy. So then the next. The sort of bridge is the this ain't no lovin', this ain't no happening.
Yeah.
To which he comedically follows up with this ain't no feeling in my arm.
Right.
First of all, I got some information to drop on you.
Okay.
You know what a lovin' is?
I don't.
It was sort of a 1960s peace.
It feels like a gathering. It feels like a hippie thing.
Yeah, totally a hippie thing. And then there was the actual
damn
noun of what a happening was.
A happening is kind of a hipster thing, like a hip thing, right? Like pop.
Yeah, that would have been 60s, so hipster would have been with a Y. Long
okay.
story.
So even the word hipster.
Well, hipsters go back to the 1940s.
Well, no, hold on. I kind of had like a little meta moment here.
Oh, my God.
The word hipster is actually a different, like a previous generation of hipsters.
Oh, and it goes way back.
Holy
so, yeah.
crap.
So there's a very real chance there are kids out there listening to the show whose grandparents were in it before hipsters, before they were. Like they were
that's
there.
Fantastic.
Isn't that amazing? It's just like this
keeps perpetuating
circle of
yeah,
hipster
yeah, yeah.
life. Yeah.
I love it.
That's why I get called hipster a lot. And here's my problem. It's not that I'm a hipster. It's just that I'm so old. I was there when the stuff was new.
You go to shows and people are listening, like, these guys are great. Are they new? Well, no, they kind of just came back again.
Yeah, this is
right?
their 20th anniversary.
Yeah,
of
yeah
the
like
album.
We're here
yeah.
on the, this is a great new, well, no, they actually have like, there's actually 5 more albums you should go check out.
Yep.
And it was like, oh, well, that hipster, blah, blah, you know, oh, okay, sorry, dude.
Yeah, no, there's
I'm trying to just help you out. It's all really good. I'm not saying it's better. I'm not saying it was cooler then. I'm just saying.
If you enjoyed
if you
this,
like this,
consult your local library
right.
and you can find more.
It's not new. They're not new. You know, Alkaline Trio is not new. They have like 13 albums, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's when you start labeling them and making people mixtapes with the top 20, that's when you start bordering on hipster territory. But yeah, they were early white kids who were into jazz and stuff like that. They were hipsters.
With a Y.
Yeah. Or at least that's one of the ways I've seen it spelled, particularly around the 1960s.
Huh.
There's a band called the West Coast Experimental Pop.
You recently had a post about that.
Yeah, I did. I finally got it on vinyl, part one.
Oh, okay.
They had a couple albums out. And they were described as being hipsters.
Interesting.
H-Y-P-S-T-E-R-S or whatever that is. Which brings us back to what a happening is.
Happening. This ain't no happening.
Right, which was actually a spontaneous event with audience participation. So even getting hip to that, it was... predates flash mobs, yeah. Which are now passé, I guess.
Which is too bad because I have yet to ever be part of one.
No one ever asked me. I guess I'm not hip. But anyway, they blurred, the goal of them was to kind of blur the lines between life and art. And in 1959, there was a Rutgers professor named Alan Kaprow.
None of this sounds pretentious at all.
Oh God, I know. and he presented 18 happenings in the New York East Village. And he wanted people to become part of the happening and become part of simultaneously a group experience. And they only lasted, they were crude and primitive, and they really drew very heavily from the 1920s Bauhaus movement. Let's throw in a little bit of goth flavor
right?
And so by the time it finally became popular, about 4 years later, Kaprow, as the originator of it, was like, it's dead.
Done.
You know, the second people started going, oh, I'm going to a happening, he's like, nope, we're leaving.
Happenings
and he took
don't
off.
Exist anymore.
Exactly. So this ain't no happening. And I love the follow-up with this ain't no feeling in my arm, because I get the feeling like somebody's screaming like, this ain't no loving, pointing very vigorously. And then he gets bitten. And it's like, this ain't no feeling in my arm.
I was wondering, that lyric in particular, I don't know what he means by that.
This ain't no feeling in my arm?
Yeah, like what's... That was one that I remember confusing me.
I imagined just from the zombie bite, right? So this is the beginning of the disease spreading, the first part of him to go dead.
Maybe.
And then we get, of course, the Z word, right? You think you're a zombie. You think it's a scene, something from a Monster magazine. This is Danzig at some of his best songwriting.
A lot of the other songs, you don't necessarily get a reference that there's something... He's not alluding to anything. He's pretty much telling you what he wants to do. It's vampire, come on over here, you know.
Right.
Or all hell broke loose, you know. It's pretty straightforward, I think.
Really, you think Return of the Fly with Vincent Price, where he just sings Return of the Fly with Vincent Price for 2.5 minutes? I don't know. I might disagree with you based on that.
There's
song.
Actually some allusion, yeah. Reference to other things that he's clearly shitting on, like F your hipster stuff. Screw your happenings.
Yeah.
This is none of that. This is, you're all dead.
This is a Know Your Enemy song. There is a lot of understanding of hippie and New York 60s art culture going on in this song.
Yeah.
I forget with relative frequency how early the Misfits were writing songs. Like these are 78, 79. To me, they were always an 80s band. And maybe that's because that's when I discovered them, or that's when I came around to what's more, my experience with them starts.
Yeah, I mean, I have no context for that. I mean, I found them as a teenager in the 90s, so.
Right, but if I said to you in the 90s, I'm going to play for you this awesome band from 1978 called The Misfits, this isn't the kind of stuff you would have expected.
Probably not.
You know, I would have expected something a little bit more garagey, something a little bit more like The Kingsmen singing about the Jolly Green Giant, or The Rat's Revenge, which is a terrific garage tune where they just talk about getting revenge on a kid for wronging them. And then the end of the song, they talk about they finally get their revenge, which consists of they saw him mowing the lawn and make fun of him.
threw a rock at him, yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty much it. This is pretty sophisticated. I think that, like I said, it's a timeless rock and roll song, but it's pretty solid.
Yeah, well, even if, he's also saying, even if you're into monsters, you're not ready for this, right? Like the whole, this ain't no monster magazine. Like you think you like the Swamp Thing, or you think you like, you know, vampires,
right?
Werewolves. This is not that. You know, this is it. You're dead. Open your eyes. Too late. This ain't no fantasy.
Right? What was that Netflix show, Santa Clarita Diet?
Yeah, yeah.
Where they turn to the neighbor kid. A woman gets infected with zombieism, and they're trying to find a cure for her, so they turn to the neighborhood kid who's a dork and
yeah,
a geek.
He's got a crush on the daughter kind of thing, yes.
And all of his stuff, all of his knowledge is like from monster movies.
Yeah.
That's always been a problem with mine with monster movies, is they exist in a world where there are no monster movies.
Right.
So there's no set up rules, which is what made Scream so much fun, I think. Or at least the first two, where they were talking about the
right
stuff like that, but... The idea that nobody in this universe has ever heard of a zombie.
And yeah, everything is always the first thing of that thing in those movies, right? Yeah, you don't have this idea of a serial killer. Right. Michael Myers is here. Ah, you know.
Yeah. Oh no, there's a Jason in the woods. What do we do? Run from it. Or, you know, oh no, zombies. What do we do? I don't know. There's been no precedent or nothing's ever been in fiction about these creatures. It's an entire society that exists without the Epic of Gilgamesh and a Glenn Danzig to walk them through it. And I agree.
Thank God this reality has Glenn.
Yes, I think he elucidates a lot of various key important things, including, not limited to, zombies, teenagers from Mars, devils, whorehouses, and skulls.
Yeah.
And
skulls.
And more skulls. So so I really think that Danzig, we owe him a lot, and should the apocalypse ever come, I feel more prepared.
What is your weapon of choice? Just to close that whole thread that
we... Oh, nice. Okay.
I gave you mine.
I thought I said something. I thought I said bludgeoning
weapons.
Oh, you did.
Weapons. You did bludgeon. Sorry.
So I'm all drop about that. Like hammers, things that'll send brain shards into the brain.
Into the brain.
So yeah, so that's all I have. And surprisingly, there's not a whole lot of really amazing covers of this song.
Yeah.
I would think that this would be a song that would be tremendous fun to cover. And bands would almost be lining up to do so. But all I
only
really
on the comps.
Yeah, and all I found was from the Hopelessly Devoted to You comp, which was a comp for
I don't remember
Fat Records.
Yeah.
No, Hopeless Records, duh.
Yeah.
And
right.
88 Fingers Louie donated this song. It's the only Misfits song on the comp.
And this was on an album too, I think, of theirs. I think they just donated
pulled
it to the
from
comp.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So the only cover we have is really the only song that's worth playing, so it's also our winner.
Ding, ding, ding,
real
ding,
quick,
ding, ding.
What is your rating for this? How many woes?
Zombie
do
woes.
You give
nice.
It? Yeah.
I'll go 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5, because I if we can give half woes.
Yeah.
It's a what, and then a head chopped off. There's a lot of allusion in the song, which I like.
Yeah.
I like the referencing of other things in a song about something else. So
I would go 5 and 5. This is
nice,
this
full
is,
score.
Yeah, there are a couple perfect Misfit songs, and I really believe that this is, in fact, one of them. And so without any further ado, that was so stupid. I wish I hadn't done that.
Edit it out.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. This is 88 Fingers Louie with Night of the Living Dead.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
That was pretty good.
Don't say it.
Why not?
Because it's ridiculous.